It don't come easy. Tara Bennett in Los Angeles, what did you make of that one?
It's had a pretty good jam to it. It's it didn't necessarily sound distinctive. It sounds like a lot of other kind of R&B artists out there right now. But it was good. It was not, well put together.
It's not going to win anything as far as Australian are concerned. We have to say that. It's not going to work from that perspective. Okay, fingers crossed. We've had a slight sort of issue with the line, but all being well, we will be able to welcome another newbie to the Midweek Drive now, also based on the West Coast, and indeed, as I said in the running order, an awesome, awesome Canadian actress. It's Jane Heitmeyer. Jane, welcome to the program. Oh.
I will pay you later. That's such a lovely introduction. I appreciate that.
Lord, well, we'd appreciate it even more, because obviously you can hear us, but it's sounding, it has to be said, Jane, at this particular stage, I think we're going to have to call you back, because you're sounding very, very woolly there, if that's okay.
All right, I have the number.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you work through that basis, if you hang out for the moment, we'll ease fire on that particular perspective, because I think it's fair to say that wasn't a good signal, was it, Tara?
No, not so much.
It wasn't. So we're going to hopefully, we'll call Jane back and sort out a few other bits and pieces. We won't go into the scenario again, but Tara, I think you deserve to have a musical choice once again. So would you like to actually roll out your own particular choice of music? If we have it, if Mr. Computer says yes, then your wish will be realized.
Oh my goodness, that's let me think. Do you have anything by Paul Terry? We haven't heard from him in a while. Something from...
I see what you did there. Cellescape is obviously what you're looking for as far as
I don't know if you have his new album or not, but that would be a fun one.
And would you like to, for the benefit of your fellow Midweek Drivettes and our listener, explain what exactly Cellescape actually are when they talk about hiding in plain sight, 3 years of roses, always unspoken, keepsake, etc.? What is Cellescape all about? Apart, of course, from comprising Paul Terry, who wrote the absolute... final word on the television series Lost with your good self.
Yes, no, Paul and I worked together for years, and he and I just did the Big Trouble in Little China 30th anniversary book. But yeah, Cellarscape is a made-up word, because he loves words and he wanted to do something distinctive. So Cellarscape is his own creation, but that's his musical side. So yeah, if you've got Keepsake, that would be a fun one to play.
Well, you asked for Keepsake, and we always aim to deliver. Keepsake is up right now.
Hundreds of days held inside, is it a keepsake or a lie? The sense of betrayal hide till now, others that failed take your bow. Oh,
clearly, Tara, you're absolutely right. If you want to have some magic manifested, play some Paul Terry and Cellarscope, and it will bring you a perfect line with the awesome actress and general all-round wonderful soul that is Jane Heitmeyer. Jane, how are you?
Victory!
Take that, you Talon people. Exactly. We're finally going. Jane, welcome to the production. Again,
thank you.
Genuinely impressed with a whole range of the material that you've actually put together. Maps to the Stars, Quantico, a whole heap of other goodies from that point of view, including, of course, 66 fantastic episodes of Earth Final Conflict.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, had it not been for Renee Palmer, frankly, we would have had Trump a lot sooner.
But I was so fortunate to work on that show. What an honor to work with a Gene Roddenberry production, because he actually is based on his writings. Mm. He, after Star Trek and everything else, he had envisioned a project. I think it was called Battleground Earth at that point. And his wife found these writings, and she created the show, Majel Roddenberry. And there you go, 5 seasons.
But
yeah,
I tell you what,
it was amazing to join. Sorry, go ahead.
Earlier in the production, Jane, we played a little snippet, yes, a little smidgen from the introduction to the final season, because that's when it got good. It was always fine from that point of view, but I always felt finally when we had your own dulcet tones explaining what Earth Final Conflict was all about, mm-hmm, I knew it was going to actually end, mm-hmm, in magic. So we're just going to have a little 50-second break now whilst Tara can also sort of accommodate the whole range of things that come through there as we actually take that official introduction to Earth Final Conflict Season 5.
In the 21st century, an alien species known as the Talons came to Earth with the promise of peace. They lied. Their true agenda was to dominate us. After years of struggle, the Talons have perished, leaving more aggressive beings in their wake, the Atavus. My mission is to stop this new species from dominating our planet. This is Earth's final conflict.
So, Tara Bennett, you must appreciate
that. Isn't that beautiful music?
The music is great, the voiceover is great, it's fantastic. Apart from the Atavus, of course, who you managed to sort through. We'll have
Right. Yes.
And still, I say, it's one of those series which kind of captured the mood of the beginning of the millennia and the turn of the century and all manner of other bits, mm-hmm, and pieces. I think it's dual revival in so many ways. I mean, it should be kind of great, because we want to know.
I would love that. I think the cast would love that. And I know there is a movement towards actually revival, you know, doing that revival. Because there's so much potential there. Don't you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got obviously, mm-hmm, the Roddenberry sort of manifesto of positivity, and yet, as I say, there's that negativity, because I think the gracefulness of Da'an and Za'or and the elements that are coming through from that perspective, amazing. Natasha Armstrong, mm-hmm, thoughts from yourself?
Yeah, just listening to your voiceover there, I can kind of feel how it's influenced like more modern shows. You can see certainly from perspective, I think it's got influences like The 100 in there, and I think that there's also sort of along the lines of names not coming to me off the top of my head, but I can see where it's
I hear you. I'm bad on names too, don't worry.
But I can see it's
actually you speak of The 100. It's kind of interesting that you said that, because I'm actually working with Paige Turco, who is one of the leads in The 100. So you get CW shows in the UK. That's great.
We do indeed. And The 100
All
is...
Right.
In fact, The 100 has actually taken the slot that used to be held by Earth Final Conflict on the Horror Channel.
No!
Because
I'm currently working with Paige Turco, who is one of the leads on that show, and we're doing a movie that's obviously very different characters. For the Lifetime Network in the States. So kind of interesting that you would bring that up.
Well, sometimes you never quite know where the midweek drive are going to take you, but at the end of the day, it'll be a safe place. Tara, if we can turn to your good self, obviously, clearly, the need to have a full feature on Jane Heitmeyer and the whole Earth Final Conflict on SFX, it needs to be done. But, you know, just because you're editor, I'm just...
Hey, you know what, guys? I can get the other actors involved. I'm still in touch with them. We're all good friends. So if you ever want to do that,
that would be wonderful. I will talk to my editor about it.
There you go.
That's what you call.
You know where to reach me.
Bringing people together in Los Angeles via Lincoln, England. It's fantastic.
There you go.
Great story. Tara Bennett, any questions you'd like to put to Jane?
Well, Jane, you know, it's really wonderful that you're a female writer in television, and I was just curious.
No, I'm not a writer. I just got to clarify, not a writer.
Actress.
I'm sorry.
I'm an actress. Yeah.
An awesome actress.
But working in the field, you know, with doing a lot of genre pieces, and what have been some of your favorite projects that you've worked on, and obviously the Roddenberry, being able to be involved with that project was huge. But what are some of your favorites? Yeah.
Absolutely. That was just the most wonderful experience in terms of character, the actors. And the whole project. And what's interesting is apparently Earth Final Conflict is now playing in the UK again. I'm getting, because I'm on Twitter, and I get a lot of response for Earth Final Conflict. Apparently they've rejuvenated the show again. They're replaying it, so that's exciting to hear.
Well, we'll be talking about...
But in terms of other projects...
Carry on, Jane.
Finish off the question. I tend to talk a lot, so I talk over. So you just stop me.
That's why we blocked out 15 or 20 minutes, Jane. Just carry on. We can go and have a tea as well. It's great stuff.
All right. Thank you. I guess, one of the most recent projects would be Maps to Stars, a David Cronenberg movie.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just awesome to work with. And I had a chance to work with Julianne Moore, Oscar winner, extraordinaire, and that was, very memorable, just in terms of how this director works in particular, and just have a chance to work with an Oscar winner like Julianne Moore. And see how he develops the character.
In time, Jane, I'm sure the Academy Award will recognize your own abilities. So that's our sort of line from that.
We'll put that out there in the universe. Thank you.
It's important. Let's return briefly to Earth Final Conflict, because clearly as though I'm in the evangelical mode here for actually realising that this is a series which is underrated in so many ways. We talked about the end of the series and the way that you actually went through. You're pretty much an action girl, an adventure. I mean, the Renee Palmer character was quite a complex
one.
She went from being kind of love interest on one side, but she was in essence somebody who...
She's the CEO of a company, and then suddenly at the end of the day, she's, full force warrior, fighting for the future of Earth. So it was a huge transition for that character.
Absolutely. And in terms of the story arc, I think, we saw that develop and grow in so many ways. We're going to have a short clip, if it's okay now, from the final sequence to date, of course, until Tara Bennett gets to the keyboard and start producing various other bits of pieces. Tara, are you ready for the final sequence of Earth Final Conflict?
Lay it on me. Sounds good.
I realize my whole life has been spent pursuing my goals with vengeance. Because now I know I'm headed towards something greater than myself. I can feel it. The great unknown, right?
Yeah, and which part scares you more? The not knowing? Or the idea of not having control?
Both. But it's liberating. I mean, our whole time on Earth, we... are looking for the answers to those questions. Who am I? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And they're all out there.
Maybe out there is the answer to what this world is trying to be.
Maybe. So let's find out.
Gives me goosebumps. Let's turn to Tara.
Those are questions we all want answers to. I think it's a universal theme, right?
Tara, your thoughts. Will you be getting out the old DVDs and saying it's time to rescreen and reappraise Earth Final Conflict?
Absolutely. You know, there's so much great sci-fi out there, and there's a large backlog of things I still need to catch up with, so this sounds like it'll be a treat.
Jane, returning to yourself again, we talked about some of the prescient powers of Gene Roddenberry, and it has to be said, we started off this program by talking with Dr. Finn Pollard about the current situation with the FBI in the States, and Tara joined in on that aspect as well. Do you think that there's an awful number of parallels between President Dawes and President Trump?
Wow.
Just a thought, that's all. I just thought I'd bold it out there.
Awesome question. I am still in shock. Usually I don't speak about politics.
That's quite all right. We're just saying between the characters.
That's an interesting parallel, and I think there's a lot there, you know? We all know that Trump...
has the same kind of hairstyle as Jonathan Dawes did, so, you know...
He does. Perhaps the same ambitions. I'm going to give you that. How about that?
Oh, well, there we are.
Yeah, there are, you know, yeah.
Okay, let's move on and slide up to date. Quantico, another top series that you've actually been in from that perspective. And, of course, The Outer Limits. Jimmy already mentioned Maps to the Stars. Any particular... of the copious scenarios that you've actually been involved with, any particular moments? I mean, we mentioned, obviously, working with David Cronenberg. Any other key areas which you thought, actually, yeah, I've always quite liked Black Swarm, for instance.
You saw Black Swarm. That's cool. That's really cool. Yeah, because with the wonderful actor from Robert Eglin from the Freddy series.
Right? Nightmare on Elm Street, exactly.
That's right.
And
we had fun on that. We had a lot of fun on that.
The good news as well, Tara, is if you're checking out Andromeda, you can actually see Jane in the series episode The Risk All Point as Erin Shohashi.
And you pronounce it perfectly. I'm so impressed. Because nobody can do that.
Look, at the end of the day, Colleen specifically said from her office, if you don't get the pronunciation of Jane's character correct, it's a deal breaker.
Practicing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like M&Ms and other sort of areas. Let's open it up to the team.
Well done.
Kaylee, questions?
Yeah, that was fun.
Kaylee, thoughts from yourself?
Sorry.
No, we've got... Kaylee, would you like to ask any questions, he says, for the third time here, of Jane Heinemeier?
Have you got any future projects you're allowed to tell us about to keep an eye out?
Well, like I said, the one that I'm working on right now, Separated at Birth, with the fabulous Paige Turco from The 100, and also Brittany Allen. She's an Emmy Award-winning actress. That should be out sometime this year, and it's cool. It's about a woman who, in her 20s, finds out when her mother dies that she was actually kidnapped as a baby, like separated from birth from her sister and her family and her mother. And she decides to find out who her mother is, and it all transpires from there because her mother is currently running for governor in the state. So it's a political thriller as well, which is kind of cool, given everything that's going on now. And I play kind of a Kellyanne Conway type of character, that kind of political thriller, so...
Yeah.
That's all I can say because they don't like us talking
exactly. That's
what's going on. But that gives you an idea. It's very current in terms of theme and what's going on in the world right now. And
you just have to say just saying the words Kellyanne Conway, and you've already got a CIA listening post sort of putting into this whole thing. We've already talked about otters.
Yeah.
We've talked about presidents.
They're listening to us now, Alex.
Exactly. Tara's getting nervous in terms of future publishing. Who knows what could happen on that basis? Tessa, thoughts from yourself?
What has been your favourite role to play so far in your career?
Yes, in terms of roles.
Definitely Maps to the Stars was a highlight because we were shooting in LA on Rodeo Drive and we started at 5 a.m. Nobody was out. Then we went back, got ready, came back, and then people kind of coming down and watching, and then they had to put up some barriers to keep them away from our shooting. And then all of a sudden, it just grew and grew and grew through social media. I mean, I just realized the power of social media at that time because, We were shooting with Julianne Moore, obviously, and word got out that Robert Pattinson was there, you know, from the Twilight series, and it just grew, and it got crazy. They had to bring in the police, and there were barricades, and then by noon, I'm telling you, there were hundreds and hundreds of people there, just watching what we were doing. Yeah. And I was looking at them going, what do you do, you know? And they're like, yeah, it's cool, that's fine. They do their job, and they move on. But it was just really interesting to watch that powerful moment where something unexpected, or maybe it should have been expected, but from my perspective, it was just interesting to watch that phenomena, you know.
And of course, the character,
the power of social media these days, you know, and the internet, and,
And the character Azita.
I also worked on a great film. I could talk about that, but I don't know how much time
Let's just briefly hold on Maps to the Stars, because the character of Azita Vachtel, clearly critical to that whole thing. You mentioned Robert Pattinson. Mia Wasikowska, of course, Alison, amongst others, was also there. Julianne
Beautiful
Moore, of course,
actress.
You mentioned. Yeah, all connected.
Right,
at the end of the day, if Renee Palmer can't handle Maps to the Stars, then the world's come to a pretty poor ending, that's what I can say.
there you go.
We have, over the years, featured many Canadian fine folk across the airwaves. Shane Rimmer, of course, and of course the legendary William Shatner. He seemed to do a full midweek drive. Also from that point of
William Shatner. Well, yeah, I did a little thing with him.
Awesome. Well, yeah. Most people say, in fact, you know, Tara, have you ever encountered William Shatner in person?
Yes, several times.
Exactly. It's like a trumpet of joy. My question being that
he did How William Shatner Changed the World. It was a documentary about how basically Gene Roddenberry, you know, had this great insight to the future of the world. Mm-hmm. And so I had a little scene with him in that. And he's a witty, funny guy.
Well, you know, when you have that connection between Captain Kirk and Renee Palmer, it's just awesome.
There you go.
In every sense
Absolutely.
Of the word. Are you still a proud Canadian, or are there any times in your career where you've turned around and said, no, I'd like to consider myself a fully fledged American, or indeed change my nationality back to British?
Wow. Okay. here we go. Mm. Awesome question, by the way. I'm currently a Canadian citizen.
Yes.
I'm a U.S. resident.
Right.
And I'm seeking my U.S. citizenship. And I'm also a UK passport holder. So, or is it European? Now I don't know, because I have to renew my passport.
That's what you call keeping your bases covered.
I am. Mm-hmm. And it works. And I'm proud to be with all three. You know, it's through my mom. My mom's from London, England. My relatives are out there, so shout out to all my relatives. But yeah, I'm born in Canada and now a U.S. resident, and very proud of that.
Mm-hmm. It's just a wondrous time. You know, that's a great routine. Tara, I know you've been prepping for this because you've been doing your first official full show that you've been working on. It's just fantastic, and still hopefully a few more moments.
Oh, well
done!
Yeah,
congratulations. Well, Tara is pretty much a regular, but she's never actually been with us for the whole thing through the magic of Skype. Something we might sort of to extend from that point of view.
There we are.
Tara, would you like to put those last two questions to the awesome Jane Heitmeyer, please?
Oh, goodness. Did you have a reasonably enjoyable time with us today?
I loved it. You guys are amazing. Thank you. And like I said, if you ever want to do a future show based on Earth Final Conflict, I think I can pull in some great actors for you, and we can have some fun talking about the show.
Well, I think that's one for our director friend Phil Dinas as well to chase up another way. Let's do a quick sort of survey. Would you be interested in an Earth Final Conflict special, Hannah Brown?
Well, from what I've seen on here, yes. I'm going to be looking up the show when I get home and finish my essays.
it's the challenges of a sophomore year journalism
totally
student.
Understand. Yeah. There's no time limit.
And Natasha Armstrong.
Certainly. I mean, I'd have to watch it first. The concept in itself just seems so enticing and inviting. So, yeah, no.
You've got aliens who land as our friends, Talons, and then they're not our friends after all.
And are they, what's their agenda?
What is their agenda?
Yeah.
Kaylee Umfraville.
I mean, why not? It looks pretty cool.
Ben doesn't like science fiction, so it's pointless really asking him.
No, I'm not a massive fan, but I still get through it. I don't mind.
He would do it. He would go that distance for you, Jane, which is marvelous.
Tessa? Well, that's extraordinary and has been much appreciated.
Tessa?
Having seen a little bit on the screen up there, I'd give it a go.
That sort of wonderful sort
give
of thing.
Give it a go. Awesome.
Give it a go.
Well, that sounds horrible. No, I would watch it.
In classic Dick Van Dyke ease, I'll give it a go. Marvellous. It's a Cockney redeem. And Holly?
Yeah, I'm with the team. I'll give it a go.
It'll happen, and I think actually you've saved Tara the second question, because Jane Heitmar, we look forward to hopefully connecting with you again in the very near future. Will you be kind enough to return?
I would love that. I really would. And thank you so much for this great invitation. I kind of look you guys up, University of Lincoln, and you have a strong reputation, particularly in your School of Film and Media. So, and I believe in education. I actually have a degree in education from McGill University in Montreal. Early childhood, I obviously went left field after that. But actually, I think my degree in education helped me to bring more to the table as an actress, you know? I really believe in the value of education. So you guys,
I've got a bowling question to you, Jane, on the basis of that, on education. And this comes, obviously, from the Tara Bennett category. What are your views on otters?
Excuse me?
Otters. As in the mammalian life form, otters. Do you like otters? Are otters sort of a major sort of feature, or is it you're more meerkat?
I'll just say I love all animals.
It's not a trick question. It's not a trick question, but Tara is our official otter expert, as well as actually being the SFX editor for the Los Angeles thing. I think it's fair to say, Tara, you when it comes to otters, you're our go-to person.
I'm an aficionado, that's for sure.
So if I need info on autos.
Yeah,
otters.
As opposed to autos. You don't want to have an otter driving an auto, otherwise it would be carnage. But it could be another. It could be another series. Maybe the planet that Renee landed on.
There you go.
Exactly. The otters are ridiculous.
Otter universe. Otter. Yeah.
A round of applause for Jane Heitmar, please.
Yay! Oh, thank you, Alex, so much. This is really a lot of fun. Okay.
And we will hopefully have to say farewell to Los Angeles. Tara Bennett, are you saying farewell at present?
Absolutely. Yes. I have to get back to work on a phone call that I have to do. But thank you so much for having me.
Well, congratulations. You've actually been the longest Skype correspondent that we've had from the awesome American continent. Would you like to welcome Sarah Bullimore to the show, who's taking up the mantle from Lincoln, England?
absolutely welcome, Sarah. Take my space as I disappear into the ether.
Oh, splendid stuff.
Thank you.
And we've got to ask those last two questions to Tara, let's face it. So, Hannah, go, please.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Mm. Oh, yes, thank you. It was lovely. It was epic this time. Thank you.
It was epic. It was indeed epic. And
will you be joining us again soon?
Oh, yes, I'd love to. Thank you.
Yay! And now we say farewell and the Skype line will actually go and everybody will be happy with the world and the otters will go back to bed knowing they've listened to Tara in full force. And what's left after we've actually focused on the joys of Sarah Bradbury with Lover, Eurovision Song Contests, Jane Heitmeyer, Bill Coles in Edinburgh, Finn Pollard, and the situation with the FBI, well, I feel it's got to be the Book Festival Discourse of Newark. Isn't that right, Sarah Bullimore?
It is indeed, Alex.
So, where do you want to start? Or would you like me to actually start by introducing and reminding the listener of the six talented midweek drivers, some of whom might well be ambassadors working with you in terms of the Sew Festival, in terms of other grand things, maybe the Book Festival, one of whom I'm actually electronically introduced to you, but you haven't responded to Ben Lewis. And why would you? I mean, at the end of the day, you know, I ask him on a weekly basis, has Sarah responded to your emails yet? No, his little heart sinks and he comes up with some pithy comment about some actress or singer that has some sort of scenario there. And I know it's because he's hurting. He's hurting inside.
That's killing me. It's killing me. Exactly. Quite clearly.
Anyway, one of those Ben Lewis, voice there. Tessa Snart, of course, you know, you've encountered through a variety of other bits and pieces. You shared opening nights at the Lincoln New Theatre Royal.
Yeah.
Yay, exactly. Holly McGrattan, whom you haven't met as yet, but actually, no, you have. You, of course, Holly McGrattan and Kaylee Umfraville, who, of course, were our midweek drivettes who went down to London.
Down to London.
Exactly. For that wonderful London Fashion Week thing that you borrowed to lead to Lincoln Fashion Week. Hannah Brown, of course, Harwich's finest.
Hello.
And from Newark, Natasha Armstrong.
Hi there.
Hello.
Now, I'm thinking, it is Newark. Is it Newark, Natasha?
Yes.
Yeah. So, Newark Book Festival, Natasha.
It sounds wonderful.
I've never heard of it before, have you?
No.
Explain the whole scenario. Exactly. Explain what's happening and why Natasha, as a resident of Newark, could be one of our team leaders for this grand event.
Oh, yes, definitely. So basically, Newark Book Festival is rebranded and bigger. So it used to be Books in the Castle for 2 years, starting in 2015. And I've just taken over this year at the end of February. So we've been going through quite a lot of stages. So we've got new logo, new website, rebranded it to Newark Book Festival. And it's going to be happening in all venues across the whole town. And we have just about confirmed them all. I'm busy fundraising at the moment and putting the programme in place. So it takes place on July the 15th and 16th. So it's going to be crazy.
July the 15th, July the 16th. The critical question that needs to be asked is, will Natasha still be in Britain at that time?
I hope so.
Yes, I will be at that point.
So will you be putting that in your diary in terms of, that's an outside broadcast I need to be doing?
Certainly, if it's a weekend. I don't know how it works out in terms of days.
We don't know how it works out.
It is a weekend, then definitely.
It is a weekend.
I love all things book, and it sounds like a wonderful thing. So anything that helps share reading to the masses is a wonderful thing in my in my view.
It is. Finn Pollard has written in with the lines, thank you very much for the opportunity to sit in on the show. Great to see you and the team in action. Is that nice? Aww. Exactly. We were in action doing those cartwheels across the studio, as indeed.
Lindsay, I missed that.
Tessa and her cartwheels, as indeed she has revealed in a sort of pre-talk up to Sound and Country Vision. The cartwheel is one of those skills that you're very much expert in.
I can actually cartwheel one-handed.
Can you?
Yeah.
Wow. I know.
Oh.
It's just something I've always
wanted. Even Ben, who's having to cope with Brighton not winning the championship,
I was hoping I'd get through it without you mentioning that.
Has also actually sort of, you know, in awe of that cartwheeling one-handed. Yeah. One day, Tessa, of course, I will ask you to demonstrate that. You realise that. I'm thinking of Facebook Live. Yeah. Holly's already noting it down as suitable stunt person for the next Sci-Fi London Challenge.
I used to do cartwheels in the summer. Like, I used to do them all the time.
What
season are we entering precisely? Sarah, we also have been focusing on that magical thing called the Eurovision Song Contest, which I know possibly needs as a presenter
Hannah Brown, historic Harwich heroine and hyperbolic midweek drivette.
But tragically, Hannah, you, once again, you were overlooked.
Overlooked, I know. It happens year after year. What am I to do?
It is a tough call. What will you be doing, Sarah Bullimore, within the Bullimore household? Will you be celebrating the delights of the 62nd edition of Europe's favourite television programme? And I'm quoting from the executive supervisor of the Eurovision Song Contest, Jon Ola Sand here, from the European Broadcasting Union. Will you be locked into place on a Saturday night?
I won't, unfortunately. I am on a working weekend away, so I should be glued to my laptop writing funding applications. I'm working really hard.
She'll be off on a working weekend away.
By the sea.
You could obviously use the radio to actually sort of work through that and get a sense of things.
There's
there.
A radio there, but I'll have to
hand. The radio's there everywhere from that point of view. But I know you're secretly keen to actually listen to Germany's entry. We promised it earlier. We said we want a bit more upbeat number, and Germany might well do the business with this. I think it could be outside bet. My tip for, sadly, Lucy Jones, probably in the teens. Might make sort of 17th or 18th place. Can't see it getting
show
much
what
higher.
A starting position is. I don't know when do the starting positions get released in terms of on the running order on the night, you know?
Well, after the semi-finals have been decided, really, so in the next day or so. But even allowing for that, I just can't see it somehow. I can't see, with all of the history of Brexit, I know it's not political, but I can't see.
We know the Baltic states will vote for each other, that's a given. And then we'll get Ireland,
I think. We don't really get many votes,
Ireland,
Malta,
we've seen.
Actually, Britain rarely gets Ireland, it has to be said, in more ways than one. And I'm not going to start on issues there, because let's face it, I do have McCormick blood in me. Sarah, are you ready for, it's from my mother's side, in case you think it was any sort of unfortunate statement, are you ready for Perfect Life, Germany's entry into the Eurovision Song Contest, which is a nice way of leading to the Perfect Life that, of course, you have brought to the midweek drive through stepping in at the last moment to the Phil Lioness gulf that's been left as he goes off preparing for other things, and his upcoming travels to Lincoln, New Mexico. The lengths he goes to find that the truth is out there, I really don't know. Anyway, back with you after 3 minutes from now.
I come alive inside the light of the unexpected. Sleep, dreaming away, finding a bed, but I don't.
that's the song Germany as a country have selected to represent them in Eurovision. And I think they could be in with a chat. I think they could definitely... What do you think, Sarah Bullimore?
I think it was really good, yeah. I've not heard any of the others, but I like that one.
Yeah, she hadn't been listening to the show, you think. That's what happens when you don't believe in radio when you're sitting by the sea. You know, you put it to one side, be opening up, but at least the podcasts are available. In the studio, Natasha, you were waving your arms in the air like somebody who's got no despair whatsoever. So what would you say about Lavina, Entry for Germany?
I was loving it. We were having a great time, weren't we? We were just bopping along and having a bit of a dance. And what more do you want on a summer's evening?
Exactly. Technically, we're still in the spring, but...
it's a very warm day outside today. So I think that's what she was going
with. There was ice on my car this morning. Ice, I tell you. Hannah?
I've really enjoyed it.
Nice. See what we did there? Look at somebody else.
Look at Tessa, and say exactly. Hannah. It works well. Yeah. It's like, who exactly else?
Yeah, Tessa.
I really liked it. It was really upbeat. We were saying the sort of the backing music sounded like Titanium.
It was identified by Ben, of course.
Ben. I thought that
Ben identified it.
It was very familiar. Yeah.
Well, then that's how Eurovision wins. You see, it builds on the familiar and then expands.
Yeah, really
Holly.
Yeah, good song. I enjoyed Hannah and Natasha enjoying it as well. So.
Our dance moves are amazing.
It was almost a Facebook Live moment. Let's face it. Kaylee.
Yeah, definitely. You can cut some shapes to that.
And in terms of striking that pose, to continue the maxim even further, let's move from there to the joys of the 15th and 16th of July, the Newark Book Festival, which builds upon previous Books in the Castles event for 2017. It's going to be featured in, I'll just check out this with our Newark correspondent, Natasha, in terms of are these suitable venues to actually host book festivals in. I mean, I realise, Sarah, this is a heck of a pressure that's going through this, but Newark Castle?
Yep, that's decent as any other.
underpinning the praise, that Newark Town Hall?
I've never actually been to Newark Town Hall, so that would be quite interesting.
Been in the ballroom, so it's beautiful.
The marketplace.
Yep. Yeah, well, that's a given. That'll be good. That'll be very busy, I can imagine.
Gannett's Bristro.
Yep. That's great. Gannett's is great.
The Secret Garden Cafe.
Ooh, that's a new one.
It's not a secret anymore.
It's hidden. I didn't know where it was to start with, but it is hidden.
Shh. Millgate Community Centre.
Not been there, but yeah, I can see that working.
River Cruisers. Is that you walking on water again, Sarah?
It is our Ship of Stories that we have.
Ship of Stories.
Yes.
Ship of Stories. The National Civil War Museum.
Yeah, that's brand new. And, well, I say brand new, it's like 2 years old, but it's big enough and lovely.
Still
enough.
New enough, yeah. Yeah.
And the Newark Library.
Oh, I love Newark Library. Good memories.
In the words, has the books.
In the words of the festival director, I love what Newark has to offer as a historical market town. So many wonderful venues, spaces and people with shared ambitions. It's an honour to work with everyone in the area. Did you really say that, Sarah?
I did indeed,
my
yeah.
Word. There we are.
I wrote all that.
Newark has all the perfect ingredients from independent businesses and cafe culture to beautiful venues and open spaces in addition to great transport links. Honestly, people will be flooding out of Lincoln just to actually attend Newark for the book festival on the 15th to the 16th of July.
Well, they should do.
How can people find out more details, please, Sarah?
They can go to our new website, which is newarkbookfestival.org.uk, or find us on social media, which is just Newark Book Fest. It's the same on Twitter and Facebook.
So allowing for newarkbookfestival.org.uk, are you going to be involving Ben? I mean, I realise he's putting on the position of live radio, etc. Do you want him to be involved? I mean, I don't know. I mean, think of this as an interview he's doing live in preparation for a real interview he's doing in like 13, 40 hours from now, basically. So quiz him, Sarah. Quiz him. You know, give him the third degree.
Okay, Ben, what are your skills? What's your strengths that you can bring to the festival?
Well, I can email you my CV. No, I've got obviously doing a PR course, you've got to be good at communications. So
you've got to, yeah.
And obviously I wouldn't be on this show either, I don't think.
I don't know about that.
Oh, thanks, Alex. Alongside that, I think I've got a strong skill set in terms of creating press releases, competent in most software. And yeah, I think overall, I think if you have a look at some of my work experience, might be able to apply some skills from that as well.
Do you want to drop in Sony? That's quite a nice one to drop in. Really,
did Sony last summer? Sony Pictures, and then
Angry Birds.
Oh, yeah, done that.
And The Magnificent Seven.
And Sausage Party. Well, I'd rather not talk about that one.
And yet, inevitably, he always brings up Sausage Party. I best not talk about it. It's a conversation stopper. Well, there we are, Sarah. I mean, clearly, as festival director, you have the cutting decision on that. But that was Ben's little mini interview, that kind of speed interview, courtesy of the Midweek Drive. Splendid.
Better send me the CV then.
you might ignore it, but never mind. Just send it through the post. There's no excuse now, Ben, is there?
I'll send it by pigeon.
No.
Pigeon. Holly, any questions that you'd like to put to Sarah Bullimore about life and so on and so forth?
I'm interested in the book, first of all. Is there... why Newark?
Because it was already an event happening and booked in the castle anyway. So I took it over basically already there. But I'm from Newark anyway, so it's obviously I'm based in Lincoln at the moment doing stuff, and I've worked across England anyway. But because I'm from Newark anyway, and they needed someone to kind of carry on, it was just made perfect sense really, because I already know all the people and all the places and everything like that, and I organise literature festivals and other festivals anyway. So that's why, and as I kind of said in that quote that Alex mentioned, it's got the perfect ingredients. So it's got, you know, good transport, lovely coffee shops and culture and beautiful, beautiful venues. So,
do you know, it's over a decade since we first started working on the Lincoln Book Festival, so it's astounding, really.
I know, it's amazing. Scary.
Oh, well, life travels in its own way, and before you know it, Kai Valentine will be celebrating his 30th birthday, much as, of course, Tom Stevens does the same sort of thing, really. It's a strange routine. Sorry, we're just into 30th anniversary celebrations there. I realise Kai's got many a year before he reaches 30, but it'll happen. Okay, moving on. Would you guys give me a number between 2 and 26, please? Sarah Bullimore.
13.
Don't worry, it's not that we're nicking Kai's idea of the unexpected line. He invites listeners to choose between naught and, well, actually 1 through to several hundred thousand, really. No, this is just the note to the universe, and it's a top 10 signs that the universe is working for you.
The top 10 signs a really huge dream of yours is about to come true are, number 10, you regularly visualize the end result, the after party, or beyond. Number 9, every day you show up doing something about it. Number 8, you're not attached to how it will come true. 7, it really matters to you. You really care. Number 6, you know who the first 3 people are that you'll call with the news. Number 5, you're smiling and winking way more than normal. Number 4, sometimes you speak and behave as if it already has. 3, it probably doesn't depend upon specific people. 2, you already know what your next goal is. And the number 1 sign a really huge dream of yours is about to come true, you keep whispering, sweet, thank you, yes, with clutched fist. Sweet, thank you, yes, the universe. Did you just smile and wink? Good. Keep on it.
Did you just smile and wink, Sarah Bullimore?
Excellent, yes.
Sweet.
I'm not sure about wink.
Clenched fist. Clenched fist, little paw. Yeah. I've circulated the press release to the Midweek Drive Etch team, and they've sorted themselves through, and they've got a couple of minutes to ask a couple of final questions. Tessa.
Excellent.
Are you all ready for the festival? Is everything sorted?
Not quite, but getting there, as you can kind of see, because I took over at such a late stage, it means that we've been working super speedy whilst doing everything else. But we are getting very, very well. We've got funding, we're still getting more funding, so we're looking for more sponsors and friends, but we're getting there. We are currently in the Green Token Scheme in Waitrose in Newark at the moment, which is quite exciting. I'm sending everyone in there shopping. And we're getting it all together, and I'm just kind of about 3/4 of the way on the programming at the moment, so we're up against it, but we're getting there.
And that pressure adds to the production of a diamond from the coal hall that is Newark. Did I really say that? No, it's okay. It works on that basis. Heaps of other things to talk about. If you want to find out more about the wonderful arts events that Sarah is involved with, Inspired on Air, next Wednesday, Sarah. Our monthly production, yes, of Inspired on Air packages and all sorts of other goodies, in which case we'll be getting dancing. And yes, Tessa, you will have the opportunity to do that forward cartwheel?
Oh, the cartwheel.
One-handed cartwheel.
One-handed cartwheel.
Sarah, this girl can do one-handed cartwheels.
I'm thinking I might schedule Tessa into the Lincoln Dance.
Yes.
Actually, just for a cartwheel performance.
I think it's what the Snart family would actually want.
Absolutely.
For one of their daughters to actually be doing one-handed cartwheels. And it's time that wonderful talent was revealed to the citizens of Lincoln, so I'm sure you can communicate that.
I think.
Next week, all being well, we will have Lily Holloman in this particular slot. We should also be welcoming back Jamie Anderson about more news with respect to 50 years of Captain Scarlet, Tessa and Terra Hawks, and a whole range of other factors as well. When they get Camo back one of these days, I don't know.
Oh, I know.
But Bill Coles did very well today. I think Bill Coles, a kind of combination of Bill Coles and Finn Pollard, worked extraordinarily well. Tara Bennett did more than her fair share of keeping things together. Sarah Bradbury, she's just chilling in her own marvellous, wonderful way. And Jane Heitmeyer, a privilege and a pleasure to have a feature on the show, as indeed it was your good self, Sarah Bullimore. And it now falls to Natasha Armstrong to put those last two questions to you. Go please, Miss Armstrong.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I have, always.
Wonderful. I'm going to get my mum to put the green tokens in the Waitrose one, by the way. Don't
Brilliant.
Worry, I'm
Thank
on it.
Excellent.
And can we expect to see you on the show again?
You can indeed. I shall be there next week.
Yeah, every little helps with those green tokens. Obviously, all the supermarkets are available, but they don't have William Sitwell connected with them. Did you see that? He'll hopefully be joining us tomorrow. Alan Stevens will be with us. Richard Fitzwilliams will be back, unless, of course, there's another Royal retirement, in which case he won't be, but you know, in theory Richard will be back talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 2 and Lady Macbeth and the other aspect, of course, the humongous number of interviews that he's been doing ever since, of course, the news broke last week that a slightly elderly gentleman was going to take things a little bit easier as far as London was concerned. Hurrah, we say.
That's
just it happens. In the studio, we mentioned thanks to Finn Pollard, thanks to Hannah Brown, Tessa Snart, Natasha Armstrong, Holly McGrattan, Kaylee Amfreville, and Ben Lewis, your first evening show for quite some time, because tomorrow you're going to be
two weeks ago I was last on the evening show, I think.
It was really 2 weeks. Well, it's a long time. Exactly. Anyway, I'm sure you'll be resuming duties in the future. Any message you want us to put to Ian Lennox for you tomorrow? Congratulations. Well
no,
done.
No, just hush. That'll do. Hush.
Okay, that's all right. So all we have to say, Sarah, and you can lead people in this particular aspect, is we'll use the prisoner get out, really, because we've introduced the team to Earth, Fire and Conflict. I think we'll actually go with Be Seeing You. So after three, Be Seeing You. A one, a two, a three.
Be Seeing You.
Seeing you.